Y'all look good. Y'all look good tonight. I told Elizabeth before we left the house, for some reason my hands are sweating and I'm nervous. Y'all make me nervous. And Eva helped me out a lot when she said, "Are you preaching tonight?" She said, "If I know that, I'd stayed at home." I don't know what it is, why we get nervous, but I do too, because I'm an imperfect man that stands behind a perfect word of God. Amen? And I don't want to mess it up. So if I don't veer too far off the Bible, I ought to be okay, right? One time, y'all, if you don't mind, you can be turning your Bibles. We're going to go deep in this evening to Genesis chapter number 6. Shouldn't take you too long to get there. One time, I preached a message about a Chick-fil-A cup that I seen rolling down the road with the wind. And tonight, I want you to kind of get in your mind as we start to think about this, and we go into a few things. I want you to think about the drive-through window that you pull up to and you order your food. Y'all ever done that? Anybody ever do that? I know some of you young folks, y'all don't know nothing about that. Y'all just Uber nowadays, right? You don't even got to go get in your car. Just in the back of your mind, put that picture of that drive-through window as we talk about a few windows in the Bible here. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 10, the Bible says, "And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die." Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to be in your house tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, and I thank you for what I've studied. I ask you, Lord, that you'd bring remembrance to what I've studied, and I ask you, Lord, that you would gather my thoughts, Lord. I pray, God, that you would remove me so that you can be seen. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So this thing started. Adam and Eve, we're familiar with the beginning of the book. Adam and Eve, they started out and sin entered into the world. And we fast forward about 1,400 years here and we see a man named Noah, who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And we read about what God told Noah to do. God had done decided that the creation of man had done upset him to the fact to where he said that it repented of him that he made man. It disgusted him. Man had gotten so out of whack. Their ideas, their ideologies, the things, we know that the things that are going on today were going on right then and there. You know how we know that? Because Jesus told us that in Matthew. He said, "As in the days of Noah," right? We remember that. We also get another recollection of this in Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse 7. Y'all just bear with me for a second here. I'm also preaching out of a new Bible. It's the King James Version. It's just a new Bible, not one of the new Bibles. In case y'all was wondering. In chapter 11, verse number 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So here we are. The world is corrupted. The imaginations of men has done gone wild, right? If y'all have ever visited New York City, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. I saw it. The imagination of men and women have gone crazy. Look at what's running rampant in our society today. The same things that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed for, we got the same things going on today. Might I say this, that the devil, our adversary, is no longer hiding himself. He is in broad daylight. He is coming at you full force. He's coming at me full force tonight. My hands are sweaty, but I'm telling you, this sounds good in my head, and I hope I can make this sense to you. That's why I asked the Lord to put my thoughts together. So we see that he's told specific instructions on how to build the ark, and he followed them to a T. Now, there's been speculations about people who might have mocked Noah while he was doing this. You can imagine how big it is. If you've ever been to Kentucky, it's supposed to be an exact replica up there of what it looks like. I'm sure it's a massive boat. And then for him to say that it's going to rain, I don't think that a lot of people fully understand that they didn't really know what rain was then. Because if you read your Bible, you'll understand that up until this time, the water came from beneath. It didn't rain. It didn't rain like we know rain. It just comes from beneath, okay? So he's building the boat and he's doing it exactly like it was. But the one thing that I want to pay attention to tonight is the window that he said he wanted, that God said he wanted to put in the ark. Notice what we want to pay attention to is where the window was. The window was in the top. It was in the very top. Now, there's no other instructions for windows in this big old boat. It's made out of gopher wood. It's got pitch on it. That means that all the cracks had mud caked in it. What we would know mortar today. They used to make it out of mud. So that you got this big old vessel with no windows, three stories high, and a lot of animals. A lot of animals in there. And we got one window. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I get kind of claustrophobic when I can't see around. Anybody in here ever been seasick? If you was to describe being seasick, it is god-awful. It's terrible. I mean, it's terrible. It don't really make me sick. It makes me mad. I get angry. But that's okay. Everybody deals with things different, right? So we're in this big old boat, and we can't see. I'm going to fast forward a little bit. All the animals came, and Noah's family came. That's eight people. All right, we're all in the boat. And it started to rain, and we got this one window in the top. Y'all ever wonder why God only put one window in there? I like a little daylight. Y'all like a little daylight? I like a little sunlight in my life. I think we need it. It's vitamin D. We can go back and we can study that, and it's important that we have the rays of the sun. But God told Noah to put that window in the top of the ark so that Noah would look one place. Up. Up. Because I promise you, when he started looking around him, it wasn't too good looking. Outside of his wife. His wife was there. She, you know, in his eyes, she's pretty hot. Right? Right. Y'all men, all of you, amen. So, here we are. We're in the boat. We can't see outside. He didn't want windows in the side. Why? Because it wasn't for Noah to see the destruction of man, the judgment that God was passing on mankind. All we got is this little window in the top. And the reason that I want y'all to think about that drive-through window is because y'all been there. That thing will slide open. And then most of them's got like springs on it, and it'll shut back. It'll slide open, and it'll shut back. So I want you to understand that he cannot see. It was like a Jehovah's Witness church. There was no windows in it. Y'all ever notice that? I don't know why they do that. No windows in the thing, except for this one where all Noah could do was look up. When he wanted to talk to the Lord, he had to look up. When he wanted to see the sun or the clouds or whatever it looked like that day, all he could do was look up. So we have a window here in the top of the ark that I'd like to present to you as a transitional window. A transitional describes a process, period, or item characterized by change from one state, condition, or style to another. It signifies an intermediate, temporary, or developing phase. Here Noah was in a world that was absolutely wicked. There was no good in it except Noah. Noah found a little bit of grace in God's eyes. Thank God for it. Amen. Imagine now, 1,400 years, this thing's been, that's rough. Y'all don't hold me to that. That's just a rough estimate. About 1,400 years. Imagine how many people was living in about 1,400 years. That's a lot, right? So then Noah, he finds grace. He finds grace and he finds himself beneath a transitioning window where God has put him in a spot to where it's just him and the Lord. It's him and his family. God, there's a lot to unpack here, and I got a lot more to go, but there's a lot to unpack here. Notice that Noah found grace in God's eyes, but so did the other seven that went with him. His wife, his smoking hot wife, and his kids and their wives, right? So he found grace. And we know that there was only eight. We get a reference to that in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter, we find where Peter tells us about this a little bit. He says, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, Peter says, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing within few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. Eight souls. 1,400 years of replenishing the earth, and God saved eight only. And here's Noah, seeing it do things that he's never seen before. He's going in a transitional, he is in a transitional period, going from a world that is wicked and violent, the Bible says, to starting over all by himself. He really don't know what's coming. He don't know how this flood is going to end. All he does know is he's in the boat. Amen? He's in the boat with a window between him and God. Okay. Let's fast forward a little bit. Let's fast forward to Joshua in chapter number 2. In Joshua chapter number 2, we find a familiar story. Everybody in here has heard about old Rahab. I was telling Kevin about what I was preaching tonight, and I kept calling her Rehab for some reason. I don't know. So if I mess up and say Rehab, y'all know who I'm talking about, okay? All right, chapter 2. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into the harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there come men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, and it was dark, that the men went out whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours. Oh man, what about that? Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. In this time, the house, sometimes in the walls of the city, there was lodging. There was room for people to be able to have houses. These are big, like castle walls. This ain't like the fence that's around 480 Harden Lane Road over there. I mean, these are stone walls, and they're tall, and they got people that live in them. And here's little old Rahab. And little old Rahab, she had heard what God had done for Israel. Do you realize that when the king sent the men to Rahab, that if they had found out that she helped the two Israelites, that king would have had her head? She would have been killed. Hey, but by faith, Rahab, she said, I've heard what you did in Israel. I heard what you did for Israel out of Egypt. And she was thinking to herself, hey, I want to be a part of this. Y'all ever heard the gospel? You remember the day that you accepted Jesus as your Savior and you said, hey, I want to be part of this. I want to be part of this. That little measure of faith that God had put in you, and you heard the gospel and you said, hey, I need to be part of this. Little Rahab, she didn't care. She just wanted, what she was more interested in was making sure that her family was okay. She wanted to make sure that her family was okay. So she hid those men up on the roof of the house, and then later on that night, after the gate was shut and she felt like things were safe, she brought them in, and then she gave them instructions on what to do. And then she let them out of a transactional window. We find this window here being transactional. If you'll deal kindly with my life for yours. So there was a transaction made through this window. One thing that I find really interesting is that scarlet cord that she let them men down with, she left hanging out. It was red. And if I was a betting man, I would just about bet you that it was a 3-fold-stranded cord. If I was a betting man, just based on what I know about Ecclesiastes, right? Y'all remember that? A 3-fold cord is not what? That's right, quickly broken. So she let these men down, And she hung that, she let that scarlet cord hang. And then you know the story. As the Israelites came and they began to walk around the walls of Jericho, this happened for 7 days. Can you imagine the fear that was going on inside that place? I can just imagine, the Bible doesn't tell me this, but this went on for several days, right? I can just imagine old Rahab thinking, you know what, if that king remembers those two men that come to my house, and here we are, all these Israelites marching around our city, I might be in trouble here. But you know what? She stayed faithful. She stayed faithful. There was a transaction made between her and the Israelites. And God, might I say, will always keep His promise. Amen? Whatever transaction that you make between you and the Lord, He will keep His promise. Will you? A lot of times we struggle with that. Remember, that drive-through window, it'll open, but it's got a spring on it. It'll shut right back. Y'all ever thought about that? Y'all ever thought about, here we come. I need to have some dealings with the Lord. And we come down here, and we get on bended knee, and we pray, and we ask the Lord. We lay all of our problems down in front of Him, and we ask the Lord to take care of them. We got the window open. We're asking the Lord to help us. Lord, I can't do this by myself. I'm scared. My health ain't good. My family's no good. I got problems. We cry out to the Lord, and then we let go of the window, and it shuts, and we pick all of our stuff up, and we head on back to our pew. We know that we got things that we deal with. We know that there's a transaction that needs to take place between us and the Lord, but we refuse to allow the Lord to work. Could you imagine old Rahab if she'd have tried to do this thing on her own? Honey, let me tell you, if she'd have tried to do this thing on her own and didn't do exactly what them Israelites told her to do, when all of the rest of the walls fell, so would her house. But look here, there was a transactional window between her and the Lord that she held open, pay attention, with a three-stranded cord that was red. Okay? Let's move a little farther. So we go a little farther here. We want to go into 1 Samuel in chapter number 19. 1 Samuel chapter number 19. Get to talk a little bit about one of my favorite characters in the Bible, a man named David. I know he was good just because of what he was named. Amen? Y'all don't laugh, just say amen. Y'all ain't going to believe this. I don't know if they put Samuel in this new Bible I got. Yeah, they did. All right. In Samuel chapter number 19, let's read about it. And Saul spake to Jonathan, his son, and to all his servants that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself unto the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art. And I will commune with my father of thee and what I see, and I will tell thee. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee word, very good. For he put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it and didst rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in presence as in times past. And there was war again. And David went out and fought the Philistines and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul, as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand. And David played with his hand. And Saul sought to smite David, even to the wall with the javelin. But he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, I don't know how you pronounce that. It might be Michal. David's wife told him, saying, if thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. So Michal let David down through a window. And he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth. So here's David. Saul has got it out for him. He wants to kill him. And there's a transformational window here. So we have a transitional window at first, a transactional window with Rahab, and now we have a transformational window with David. Saul was wanting to kill David, but everybody around him wanted to protect him. So however it's pronounced, she let David out of the window again with a cord. So David has escaped through the window, and the transformation that takes place here is David was in a situation where he was defending Israel, and he was fighting for them, and he won a great battle. He was doing all the right things. You as Christians, do you ever feel like, hey, I'm doing all the right things? And then the adversary comes and wants to stick you to the wall. Huh? Y'all ever done that? Y'all ever been there? Don't leave me up here by myself. Y'all ever been? I feel like I'm doing right. I pray 3 times a day, most of the time over a hamburger. Like I'm like Daniel, I pray 3 times a day. Well, that's because you eat 3 times. You need to say the blessing. Right? You ever been in that way? Hey, I'm reading my Bible. I'm doing everything that God wants me to do. I'm going to church. The deacons called and said I need to come cut the grass. I went and cut the grass. I'm leading the singing because the choir director is about 50%. I'm doing all of these things, and man, here he comes, boy. Here he comes. I got to get out. I got to get out because the adversary, he wants to sift me as wheat. He seeks whom he may devour. He roams the earth as a roaring lion. Y'all know why you don't need to worry about him too much? My daddy always said, when a dog was barking, he can't bite you. Right? If he's roaming the earth as a roaring lion, we ain't got nothing to worry about, do we? God saved David's life that day. He transformed David's life that day. Well, if we go all the way back to Noah, you know what Noah was doing when he spent all of those years building that ark and he put that one window in the top? What Noah was doing that day was he was preserving his family. God promised that he would save a man's household. That's what he said. And all the way back into there, Noah was in that ark, and God saved his whole family. Saved his whole family. You know what he was doing in there? He was confessing the Lord Jesus and believing and having faith in God. That's what he was doing. What was Rahab doing? What Rahab was doing was she asked, if you would just save me and my family, my whole family, and God promised that he would save you and your whole family. What Rahab was doing in the walls of that city, even though the walls of her life was crumbling down around her, hey, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. If you'll serve the Lord, you ain't got nothing to worry about. You don't have nothing to be scared of. All you got to do is hold that window open and tell God what you need. And hold it open long enough for God to reciprocate. James said, we have not because we ask not. Right? That goes back into that, yes, sir, we pray three times a day. That's because we eat. Three times a day, give us day our daily bread. That's what we do. When was the last time that we got down and we cried out to God about our family? Brother Brad asked about his kinfolk a while ago. They need salvation. They need salvation. When was the last time that we got down and we cried about somebody that needs the Lord? Noah, he found grace, and God saved him and his family. Rahab made a transaction, made an agreement, and God saved her and her family. David, Saul wanted to kill him. He made a deal with the Lord, and it transformed his life. Hey, look, David was a warrior. I mean, I don't know if y'all picked up on this or not, but before it said that he flew out of the window and run for his life, he just got done fighting the Philistine army and overthrowing them. Why was he running? What was he scared of? Right? I'm talking about David as a man of war. Huh? He stood in front of the Philistine giant, Goliath. I think we preached on that the last time, didn't we, Dorsey? Yeah. He stood in front. I mean, David ain't scared of Saul. He's just doing what the Lord's telling him to do. Make no mistake, David wasn't scared of much. He didn't fear like, you know how it is. You know what it's like to be scared. If y'all was to turn all the lights off and leave me in here by myself, I'd be scared to death. I don't like the dark. Y'all shouldn't either. There's bad stuff can happen in the dark. I don't want to be there. David, he wasn't scared of much of nothing. He done killed a bear and a lion with his bare hands. Fought the biggest Philistine that there was. He wasn't, make no mistake, he wasn't running because he was scared. He's running because things were about to transform in his life. Now let's think about that window in that drive-thru. It's a transformational window. I know it is because I can pull up to that thing and my wife, she'll be mad as a hornet because she's hungry. And the things that come out of that window, boy, it just fixes it. Don't it? Amen? Yes, sir. It'll fix it. Hey, listen, a drive-through Chick-fil-A or Zaxby's is the perfect cure for hangry. Okay? Look here. There's a window between you and the Lord. What we've seen tonight, there was a window between Noah and God. There was a window between Rahab and God. There was a window that David escaped death from. There's a window between you and the Lord, and that window is open. When Jesus died on the cross, that veil in that temple was torn. What that represents is that gives us direct access to the Lord. That gives us direct access to the one that can save you. That can give you direct access to the one that can give you every need that you'll ever have. I'm talking about needs long before you even know you need them. He'll provide them. He'll do it. And look here, if I hadn't done nothing else, I hope I've proved to you that not only will He do it for you, Brother James, but He'll do it for your whole house. Huh? Not only will He do it for you, but He'll do it for your whole house. He'll save your whole house. All you have to do is trust Him. Stop trying to do it by yourself. Look here. The thing about Noah was he did not realize that the windows of heaven were going to open and water was going to pour out. He didn't know that. But God said, build an ark. And He did. He didn't realize that. He knew that all he ever knew is water, when it rained, it come up from the ground. And that's how God fed the vegetables. That's how He nourished the plants and the trees and all that up until now, when the windows of heaven opened and poured out. Listen here now. In this time, Noah found grace when God poured out judgment. Right? Old Rehab. Old Rehab found grace because she made a deal with Him. She made a deal with Him. That's how she found grace. Look here. God wants to make a deal with you tonight. If you'll come unto Me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus wants us to make a deal with Him. He wants us to be, He wants us to be in a position that we will allow Him to transition us. He wants us to be in a position to where He can make a transaction with us. Hey, He's already done His part. He's already done His part. Where are you at? Have you done yours? Because if you make this transaction with the Lord, if you'll do what we talked about, what Noah and Rahab was doing, they were confessing the Lord Jesus and believing in their heart that God was going to take care of them. Romans teaches us that if we would confess with our mouth, a lot of times people stop right there. With the mouth, confession is made, right? A lot of times they stop. But the key part of that verse is that if you believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. Listen, if you truly believe, y'all don't get mad at me, but if you truly believe that God raised Him from the dead, then what are you afraid of? Wherever He walked, He brought life with Him. Lazarus, come forth. Hey, one of these days, we're going to hear that trumpet. The windows of heaven are going to open up and we're going to meet Him in the clouds. Amen? I hope you're all ready. I hope you've all made that transaction with the Lord. Because He wants to save you. He loves you so much that He went to a cross and died on a cross so that you can have life and life more abundantly. That's a lot out of a drive-thru window, ain't it? Let God transition you. Bible says that we are His workmanship. We're His workmanship. I pray the Lord every day. You know, I think about what was it in Jeremiah when He said, go down to the potter's house. He told Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house. It was Jeremiah, right? Yeah, told him to go down to the potter's house. And I think about that old potter working that clay on that wheel, you know. And I pray for myself every day to humble me, Lord, with grace and mercy. Right? Because I don't just pray, humble me, Lord. Y'all better be real careful about that. It's about like praying for patience. Brother Josh taught me that. I used to pray for patience until Brother Josh told me what did you say? Tribulation worketh patience? Yeah, I don't know that. I like love and mercy and grace. Don't y'all? Hey, God, that's what he wants to give you. I pray every day and I think about that. I think about that old potter sitting there playing with that clay and it's spinning around and he's forming it and he's making it what he wants it to be. Are you pliable enough to allow the Lord to make you what he needs you to be? Are you that pliable? Because have y'all ever seen it when the potter decides that he's messed up? Y'all know what happens? Man. He crushes that thing. He crushes it. But you know what? He don't just take and slide it off that wheel. Hallelujah. He adds a little bit of water to it and starts pumping again. Huh? A workman. I'm his workpiece. Are you pliable enough to let him work on you tonight? Are you holding that window open? Because look here. You know one thing. Here's the one thing about that window. Remember I said it had springs in it. Y'all ever notice that when they turn loose of that window, it shuts. The one that's got your hamburger on the other side of it. They turn loose of that window, it closes. Right? You have the ability to reach out there and open it up. And you know what? Sometimes God will sit on the other side of that window to see how long you can stand it. To see how long it takes you to reach out there and grab that window and open it up. It's there for you. It's there for you. All you got to do is go get it. Amen? Amen. I love you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you, Lord, for tonight. I had fun with this. Lord, thank you for pulling it together for me. I don't know if it made sense to anybody out there, but it made a lot of sense to me. Lord, I ask you tonight, you'd forgive me for my sins and my many shortcomings. And Lord, help me, Lord, that I'd be a better Christian. Lord, that I would trust and fully, fully rely on you for everything that I need. Lord, I pray, God, for each one sitting under my voice tonight. Lord, you know what we all stand in need of. I ask you, Lord, that you would give us wisdom and give us knowledge. Lord, that we would be able to hear you. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'd give us courage and you'd give us strength. Lord, that we would cry out to you with every need that we have. Lord, I pray as we go our separate ways, you'd keep them all safe. And Lord, until we meet again, in Jesus' name, amen.